liked it. And I just learned this week, but just pray for me, and I am kind of nervous.
Savior, you are friend, you are all I'll ever need, Lord, you are. You are every question's answer, you are every reason why, you are moving, you are still.
Reason I make this offering. Do we offer ourselves daily? Do we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? Today, if you have your Bibles, turn to Haggai. And you say, where in the world's that at? Well, if you find Malachi, back up two books. And you'll go back by Zechariah, then you'll find Haggai. If you find Zephaniah, then go right past it and you'll find Haggai. So it's in near the end of the Old Testament. We see here that the prophet Haggai, he is a post-exilic preacher, prophet. He is the one that was telling them about the rebuilding of the holy city, of the temple here at this point in time. He's encouraging Israel to rebuild after they have come out of exile, after the Assyrians attacked them, and then after they went into Babylonian captivity and they were there for a number of years and had no nation. We see now that the Persians are going to take over, and that they are going to find favor in the Persians' eyes, and they are going to be allowed to go back to home to rebuild. But we see the sin that became the thing that God was looking at here, that they left his house desolate. They didn't rebuild it. And that's where we want to get to. In chapter 1 of Haggai, we see Haggai encouraging them by the word of God to go back and to rebuild the temple of God. We see that they had spent time building their comfortable homes, and that they had spent time rebuilding that they wanted and spending that time. And the people said, it's not time to rebuild the Lord's house, because they were busy doing what they wanted to do. Kind of reminds me of the attitudes of folks today in the world and nation that we live and around the world today. It's not time for God, but it's time to do what we want to do, and the things that we find pleasure in is what's most important. But friends, I'm here to tell you today, just as in the book of Haggai, as he was telling them, because this took place in 520 BC in the second year of the reign of King Darius here, and we don't just have Bible to back that up. They also have historical records of this ruler being at that time. So this wasn't just made up. It wasn't just something that happened. As Haggai wrote this book, only two chapters, next to the shortest book in the Old Testament, the shortest book being, we just had that Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago, Obadiah, that's right. Shortest book in the Old Testament, Obadiah. Haggai, we just have two chapters in it. Another short book here, but it has much to say to us if we listen to what Haggai has to tell us this morning and their attitudes approaching Jesus. We need to set our priorities right in service to God. Now, there's going to be many people, and Sandra and I was talking about this last night, there's going to be many people who are going to make vows tomorrow night at midnight to do something better in 2013. Well, let me tell you, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Let me tell you, we need to trust in God, get our priorities straightened out, follow Him, put Him first in 2013. Everything else will line up. Everything else will come to pass that needs to, and it'll be a blessing for us if we put Him first. In the book of Haggai, we see that God is telling the people here that they need to get back to rebuilding the temple to end a drought that is taking place in the book of Haggai. Here. There had been no rain. The seed was in the barn, but they had very little. The things that were there when they went to press out, where they would draw out an abundance of maybe 50 measures, they were only getting 10 measures. Let me tell you, it kind of sounds like where we're at today in America, with the blessings being withheld from us because we have put everything before God and we have put Him on the back burner. We need to get back and put our priorities right in America to follow God. We need to put them back in our churches. We need to put them back in our homes, and we need to put them back into our leadership, that we follow God and let Him be first, that we get back about God's business and doing what is important to God. Just as Haggai was telling them in the book of Haggai here, as he wrote this, we don't have a whole lot on Haggai except the word of the Lord come to him, the burden that came to him, to tell the message that God gave to Haggai here, to tell the children of Israel what they needed to be doing. He said, listen, you've built your own houses. You've been comfortable. Here you lived in your own sealed houses. And the things that you're doing in God's house is laying waste. And God wasn't pleased. God wasn't happy. Now, there was a temple that was built by Solomon. King David wanted to build that temple, but God told David, because of the sin that he had in his life that he committed, he was not going to be allowed to be able to build that temple, but his son was going to be able to. David laid up for that. He didn't get all down in the mouth. He didn't get discouraged. But what he done, he started laying up stuff for Solomon to be able to build that temple, and it must have been something spectacular to see in its brilliance and its glory and what it was there in the house of God. God and what it was to represent. Let me tell you, God's house in America today has gotten broken down and torn down, been let go, and it's laying desolate in many places today. God's Spirit's not moving. God's people are not serving God. They are sitting silent and they're not raising their voice about the Word of God. We're not standing upon it. We're not proclaiming it. We're not going and telling it on the mountain this morning. We've gotten our sealed houses. We've got satisfied with the way things feel. It's a little cold on the outside this morning and the wind is blowing. And the first thing we'll start doing is shivering and saying, "Whoo, I wonder if that preacher's crazy. We're going to have church today." And the question I asked myself was, if I was going to my job, would it stop me? And if it wouldn't stop me from going to my job, it ain't going to stop me from going to church. Now, Wednesday night was a little bit different situation there with the ice and stuff and the danger that could have been there and it being dark. But I missed Wednesday night being in God's house. I appreciated the little bit of extra rest I got, but I'll tell you, I missed being in God's house. I miss being in God's house when it's time to be here. I want to be where God wants me to be. And I want to follow Him. But we see now that here that the children, they got back into the work, that they hearkened unto the word of Haggai as he was telling them what God wanted them to do, and they started into the work. Now let me tell you, sometimes that's the way we are. We see what needs to be done, we get into the work, and we get started. But then we lose sight on our project, what we're doing. Maybe it's not as brilliant, maybe it's not as glorious as the first temple was. We see here the children in chapter 2 of Haggai's, where we want to bring our message from this morning. When we get into the Word here, we see that they were building the temple here and they were working on it, been into it about a month here or so or a little over, and they was into the building and reconstruction there and trying to do the work and to be able to end this drought that was there and listening to God. And we see here that they're going to get a little discouraged because it's not like the first temple. Some of them may be there. The exile now, if you'll remember, was 70 years. It was 70 years since that temple had been destroyed in Jerusalem. But some of the folks that were here at this point in time remembered that first temple. They were alive while it was there. They may have been very young, but they remembered that temple and its greatness and its glory. Let me tell you, maybe you can remember the church when it had some power. You can remember the church when it was filled to capacity. You can remember when the church was praising God and letting Him have His will and way. And you remember that glory and you think, well, now people ain't moving like they ought to. So what? I just get down and out and discouraged, so we're not going to do anything wrong, my friend. We need to get more on fire. Maybe it's me that's holding it back. Maybe it's you that's holding it back. But let God have His will and way. Let Him have control. Do the simple things that God asks asking us to do, and it'll mount up to the large things. We can't just build it all in one day. Thank God we have to build it a little at a time, and whenever it's done the way God wants it to do, it'll stand and it'll be brilliant and it'll be glory filled and it'll have His presence there in the midst. And I'm glad for His presence being in the midst and being with us, that we don't walk alone, that He's walking with us and He's seeing these things. Though He turned His back, had to turn His back on His children, exiled in Babylon for 70 years. Why? Because they didn't keep the Sabbaths. They didn't keep the Sabbaths. Every 7 years they were supposed to let the land rest. They didn't do it. They just kept on farming, getting more and more and more and more. And they were supposed to let it rest on the seventh year. They hadn't done that to the point where there was 70 years that was owed to God. That's why the exile in Babylon lasted 70 years. It wasn't a space of a man's life. It was because they owed God that time. God got His time. There was the land laying there desolate. The land laying there not being used, not being blessed of God because of their disobedience. But now they've come out of the exile. And God's trying to encourage them because He still wants them to be His people. He never forgot the covenant that He made with the people. He still remembered it. Now we're going to get into the Word. Chapter 2 of Haggai. In the seventh month, in the 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel." Now Zerubbabel was the foreman on the job, let's say. He was the overseer to the rebuilding of the temple. He was the one that had had his spirit stirred up in him to do something for God, to have the house of God built once again. And here he's needing some encouragement to keep on, to keep the people going. So let me tell you, it's always good that you encourage those that's supposed to be leading. It's always good to be able to say, "I've got you back. I'm going to be with you. I'm standing beside you. I'm praying for you." That's good things to do for those that's in charge, whether it's your deacon board, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your Sunday school teacher, anybody that's in those forms there, you need to support them and be behind them and tell them that you're praying for them and lift them up, because every once in a while we need some encouragement that we'll stay on the job, that we don't get discouraged and keep on doing what God would have us to do as the leadership in the church. And here we can see that God's going to give him a little bit of encouragement. Here we see in Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, and the high priest, and the residue of the people, saying, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" They were those that were there that remembered that first temple. Here they're seeing their attempts to rebuild that temple, but they're seeing they're not being able to fulfill the glory. They're not able to do the work that Solomon's group did there in the first temple that was there. They're looking and seeing it's just not quite up to their expectations of what it is. But let me tell you what it is. God's expectations are different than our expectations. God sees us on the inside for what we can be. He don't look on the outside for who we are. Thank God He sees the possibility that's there for worship. He sees the possibility for His Spirit to indwell. He sees the possibility of a life that He can use to be a mouthpiece for Him wherever it may be. Thank God He don't see it for the glory that we see, but He sees it for the possibility that He can use it for, because He chose something very simple whenever He chose me. Thank God, because of this flesh and because of this body that I have. It's simple in God's eyes, but thank God He can use it to be a mouthpiece for Him. He can give me the words to say. He can give me the breath to use. He can give me the sight to see. Thank God it don't have to be of me. I just need to get out of the way and let God do in my life what He needs to do. Each and every one of us need to do the same thing. We need to get back to God. We need to look for the glory that God can get out of the situation, not the situation itself. Not look at it and say, "Boy, I wish the church was full." Thank God, I thank God for just how it is and how God's doing it, because I'd rather have a handful of honest, sincere people wanting to worship God than a house full of hypocrites that ain't interested in being in the house of God. It's better that we be small in number and be committed to God, and large in number and be separated and divided by the evil spirits that's in this world. Thank God, and we stay committed to God, we'll grow as God wants us to grow, and this temple will grow each and every day and be the glory that God's got intended for it, because His presence will feel it, and nobody else's. It will be God and God alone. "Who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Let me tell you, those people up in Washington can't get together and figure out nothing. But let me tell you, God done got it figured out a long time ago. He said, "Don't worry about it. You just get together and work, because I'm with you." Thank God He's a leading us and He's a guiding us. He's got the answers. Let me tell you, I got some answers for Him in Washington. It's in this book right here. And His name's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And if they would get up back to business and get to this book, they would find some answers for America today. And they need to get back and return to the glory what God gave us here. First of all, when it's become America, they need to get back to serving God. They need to get back on their knees, and they need to get to lifting Him up instead of their political parties and all these other things that's going on. It's nothing but hogwash in God's eyes, and they need to get back to service to God. We need to get back to service in our churches, that we serve God. He says, "The Lord saith, work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." We don't have to be worried about this politically correct crowd. All we need to do is just keep proclaiming God's word. We just need to stand upon it. It's been good enough. It's going to be good enough. And ain't nothing going to change it. And I know it ain't good language, but that's what I'm going to use. Because it would sound funny if I said it isn't. But we need to just serve God. We need to serve God. We need to encourage one another. Yesterday, Karen needed some encouragement as she keep on being able to go through these treatments. Her tongue is sore and it's swelled. Her throat's sore. She's getting the red sunburn, they call it, from the cancer treatments. She was tired. She's trying to rest. She needed some encouragement. We were there just to sing a few songs with her and just to talk with her and James for a little while. But we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another. If you're ever in that position and you need encouragement, call me. I'll talk with you. I don't mind. I'll come see you if you let me know you want me to come see you. I'll be there. We won't pray for you. We'd rather pray with you, talk with you, try just to maybe get your mind off the situation for a little bit, just to be an encouragement, because we all need encouraging. I don't care how close we walk with God. We all still need encouraging. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Why are we afraid to serve God in America? Why are we afraid of this crowd that's coming along that says there is no God? God don't believe in atheists, so they don't exist. God is real. And I don't need no median on TV to tell me there's life hereafter. All I need to know is God said it in His Word that He went to prepare a place for me, and if He went to prepare a place, He would come and get me and receive me into Himself, that where He is, I may be also. And that settled it for me. I don't need somebody to tell me that heaven's awaiting hereafter, as there's spirits in the room coming to give me comfort. Thank God the only spirit I need is the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. Don't need no medium to talk to Him. Thank God God gave me the capability to be able to talk with Him, that He can even talk for me when I don't know what to say. And thank God when He takes over and I don't have to know what to say. Amen. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Now what we see here, He was telling them it was time to rebuild. He's trying to encourage them. He's saying, look, you've seen what it was like in its first glory. Just keep on working, keep on going. Now we see here in this verse, we see a foreshadowing to the tribulation time when God's going to shake this earth, when He's going to melt away the rocks, when the seas are going to dry up, when they're going to turn to blood. We see a picture of this here in verse 6 as it's talking about here, and this time is going to take place. Just as sure as we're here today, whether you believe it or whether you don't, it's going to take place. As we see in all the minor prophets, the major prophets, if you remember, the 12 minor prophets was the ones that wrote Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those books were longer and it contained more prophecy. That's why they're the major prophets. The 12 minor prophets which come after them, they had shorter books to write, but the message is the same. It's all from God. It's a message for us today. The Old Testament is just as good as the New Testament. The New Testament is just as good as the Old Testament. And we need the whole book to be able to understand any of it. Amen. And we need His Spirit leading and guiding us. He said, but listen, in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Looks like we've been having a little shaking going on here in America. But listen, people still not listening. And I will shake all the nations, and the desires of the nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now what is the desires of all nations? What is the desire of all nations is peace. And the peace that it's talking about coming is Jesus Christ. And the peace is going to come when He sets His foot back upon the earth once again. Thank God that's not going to be when He raptures the church away, but that's going to be 7 years later after the tribulation period, and He comes against all the armies of the world that's going to come against Him. There's going to be peace coming. And He's going to speak judgment on those that are going to raise their hand against Him. And listen, there's been never a weapon formed that's going to prevail against God. There's never been a weapon made that's going to have any impact upon Jesus. They might shoot their Patriot missiles and their Scud missiles at Him when they see Him coming, but all He's going to have to do is just say, get away from me like a flea, and that thing's going to go away, and it's not going to have any effect on our Lord and Savior when He comes riding up on that white horse. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That gets me excited. I thank God I'm on the winning side. Listen to this, and we think a lot of this, boy, I tell you, we see advertisements all the time. Well, sell us your silver, sell us your gold. We'll give you the most for it. Let me tell you, what's this say right here in verse 8? The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Boy, we think we got something, don't we? It's not even ours. It's all God's. And whenever we remember that, God can bless us. When we remember that we're stewards of what God has given us, then He can bless us. Amen. He will pour out to us an abundance. And listen to this in verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. the glory of the latter is going to be greater than the first. Why? Because God is going to indwell that place. God is going to be there. His presence is there. There's going to be glory there, and peace is going to be brought by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to a world that don't know peace. We don't know peace. Only ones that know peace are those that are saved and aren't worried because God's in control. That's the only ones that have peace. There's people today sitting in foreign countries never knowing when the next attack is going to happen. Sitting and wondering. We've been attacked in America. It's to wake us up. And if there's ever been a time we need to wake up, it's now. Oh, you hear them crying about a physical cliff. You hear them crying about this and don't want to work with that. And let me tell you, it all stems from this. None of them want to work with God.
Amen.
That's where it goes back to. Put the responsibility where it goes. Oh, I'm not responsible for my actions. My mama didn't love me enough. My daddy didn't love me enough. So I'm not responsible for the things I do. Boy, that's a lie straight out of hell if I ever heard one. We all have personal responsibility. It's a personal choice, just as salvation is. You can either choose to love Jesus, ask Him to come into your life and save you, or you can die and go to hell. It's your choice. It's your choice. But don't blame someone else. Don't blame the hypocrite that's between you and God, for they're closer than you are. They're closer than you are. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt doth touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No, because it was defiled by the law. It was defiled by the law, so it was no longer holy. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the prophets answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hand, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, concerning from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. The day that the things were shortened, he's trying to encourage him to keep working, to end this drought, to rebuild the temple, that this drought could be taken away, that the punishment for their disobedience could leave. He's giving them examples of what's taking place. When one come to the presses for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blastings and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. They were a disobedient, stiff-necked people. They wouldn't listen when God was trying to get their attention. It sounds a lot like what we are today. We won't listen to good judgment of God and read His Word and see that the same thing... Excuse me. Satan don't want this said. That the judgment and the things for our disobedience can come to us today. Satan wants us to keep on the path we're going. But God said, I am here. If you will hear and listen, I can rebuild your land. I can heal it of its unrighteousness. But we're going to have to hear from heaven and we're going to have to turn our hearts back to Him. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundations of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is a seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet in the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. He's telling Zerubbabel, look, I'm going to take care of you. I'm with you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your guardian. I'm going to take care of those that's in their chariots. And I'm going to take care of those that's coming against you. I'm going to be there to strengthen Israel, to make it a great nation once again. But he's just asking them to be honest with him and to follow him and to put him as their God. And that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a signet of God. I want to be. That was a king's seal. That was something that showed royalty. That was something that showed that was a decree that came down from the highest power to be a signet, to be chosen of God. That would be the greatest testimony that we could have for our life. Thank God, I believe it was something He's already done for us. He's made each one of us a signet because He saved us. He gave us salvation. He set us apart. He made us different because He chose us for salvation. He dealt with our heart. But he's telling the people here, he's saying, Zerubbabel, be of good courage, son. Keep on the good work. Keep on building. When it looks like it's dark and it looks like there's going to be something come against you, it'll be all right. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. We see now after the book of Haggai, we have the book of Zechariah, then the book of Malachi, and then we have a 400-year absence of a prophet in Israel. Till it speaks of John the Baptist in the book of Matthew about the one that comes to prepare the way before the Lord. 400 years. We think about how old America is. Are we going into our silent period? I hope not. It seems like there's many deaf ears. That's not hearing the Word of God. And to be honest with you, there's many dumb tongues that are standing in the pulpit that are not preaching the Word of God. So how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they be sent? The Word of God is what's important. God saw that they were getting discouraged because the glory they didn't think was as important as the first temple. But God said, you get to working. You may remember what it looked like before, but the glory of this second temple is going to be even greater. It's going to be greater. We may have been through a time of growth and through a time of going with God, but He's not done here yet. 2012 closing out, just, I believe, let's see, today and tomorrow left. Not a whole lot we can get accomplished, but there's still a whole lot left to do. If we can reach one soul in the next day and a half, that'd make it even greater, 2012. But let me tell you, 2013's around the corner. 365 days of more opportunities to reach a lost and dying world. 365 days to serve God. If you come Wednesday night and on Sunday, that's 104 days that you can be in God's house besides revival time and besides anything else that we can do. 104 out of 365, that's a pretty good average there of time off that we get. That God is just wants us to meet in His house. But today, do we know someone, or is it even us, that has forgot the glory? Thinking back to the days of how it used to be, we can't go forward if we're holding on to what used to be. We've got to turn loose and look forward to what it can be, what God can do now, what God's going to do tomorrow, not what He done 20 years ago. We got to turn loose and go forward for God now, knowing He can do the same thing today that He done 20 years ago. And expect Him to deliver if we'll follow Him. He said He'd be with us. He'd make us a signet. We're His chosen people. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to shorten if we'll be obedient, what He'll do in our life. And friend, this morning His arm is still long enough to save you if you'll only ask Him to come into your heart. There's still enough blood to save the vilest sinner. There's still enough blood to save the most just person that's never done wrong that they think in their eyes, but they're still lost. They're still lost. God's blood is sufficient through His Son, Jesus. He came to die on Calvary's hill that we could be saved. He's encouraging us that He will be with us. And He'll go with us all the way, even to the ends of this earth. Friend, He loves you this morning. He wants to save you. As they get a song prepared, or maybe an invitation this morning, whether Dale's got one ready or musicians want to come play, whichever one. But this morning, what a great way to close out 2012 and begin 2013. If you're here this morning lost, you don't have to leave that way. You can end this year in a bang and start 2013 in the greatest way possible, knowing Jesus as your Savior. He already knows you, but He's just asking you to let Him in. As we stand to our feet this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking. No one's looking but Jesus and myself. Jesus is the important one. He knows who you are. He knows your soul's condition. See, you might can fool me for a little bit, but you won't fool God at all. You won't fool God at all. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're lost, would you just lift that hand up? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost and I need to be saved." Now I realize I'm lost. Friend, you've got to find out you're lost before you can be found. You've got to be lost before you can be found. There'll be one anywhere. "Preacher, I've been remembering the former glories of what used to be." That's not a bad thing unless you're staying there in the past. "But I want to look forward to the glories that are going to be. And I don't want to be guilty of looking back and holding on to what used to be. I want what's coming. I want what God's got in store for us now. What God's got in store for us tomorrow. The glories that God can pour out still. I want to see those. And preacher, I want you to help me pray." God bless that hand. Bless that hand. "I want to see those glories poured out. I want to see people not ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed to stand up and proclaim the gospel." Bless that hand. Would there be any others? Would there be any others? Would you just come to the altar this morning? Ask God to help you in 2013 as it's coming upon us. That we remember those former glories, but we don't get discouraged, that we get encouraged, and that we just keep on holding on to the Word of God and going forward. Would you come this morning? If you got a need, whatever it might be, bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar. Some are stepping out and coming. We'll wait upon you. God is good and all the time. And all the time, God is good. Will you come this morning? May be seated where you are. We pray with these that have come to the altar. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and we thank You for Your blessed love. God, sometimes I still can't wrap my mind around why You would love me. Why would You would care so much? God, I thank You that You do. I know that You have a love that surpasses all understanding. I'm so weak in this flesh and fail so many times. And dear God, we all do. And we shouldn't use that as a crutch. We should be encouraged to know that we can draw strength from You. And God, just help us to be the witness, to be the light in the darkness. Dear God, to be encouraged that we restore the glory of the building, dear Heavenly Father, that You will inhabit. Our tabernacles, our temples, dear God. That, dear Heavenly Father, that we clean out the rubble that we've let accumulate in our temples where your Spirit indwells, and that we remove those things and keep a clean house for your Spirit, Lord. God, just help us to ever be watchful, to watch and pray, to be observant, to pray for our brothers and sisters, be an encouragement, to be on the job, working for you. All the opportunities that you give us, dear God, that we not let them slip by and not take advantage of them. And dear God, for those that get by us, Lord, we pray you send someone else to catch that one and share the message with. Dear Heavenly Father, we understand why you tell us in your word that we need to stand in the gap, because there's been too many that have slipped through the gap where others have failed and sat down. Quit doing your work. And dear God, we need to stand in those gaps that the walls not be breached of your Holy Spirit and your protection upon your house. Dear God, we thank you that you will indwell us, that you will love us, that you will be our God and we can be your children. And dear Heavenly Father, we don't have to have anyone else tell us about it. That we feel your Spirit move in our hearts and in our lives. We can see that you're real from the wind that blows, the snow that falls, to the sun that shines upon our face. Dear God, we feel you all around us. And God, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for this church family. Dear God, I pray that you would encourage them in the upcoming year. Dear God, that they would even be stronger, that they would learn more. Dear God, that you would help me to be able to be the under shepherd for this church, dear God, and that we all read and study your word to become stronger Christians in the upcoming year and proclaim you even stronger and even bolder, dear Heavenly Father, than we have in 2012. We thank you for your love and your mercy that you've extended upon us. We thank you for our miracles that are sitting here among us that have took place in this past year. And dear God, we anticipate the many more miracles that you're going to provide for us. Dear Heavenly Father, because you are real, because your hand will not be shortened, dear Heavenly Father, because we want to be obedient to you and to serve you, that you may bless us according to your will. God, we thank you for this day. We ask your blessings upon each one. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.